front side was celebrated with my family. And then after that, it was 2 weeks before Pesach.
Oh, yes.
So, we will meet on the first Monday after Pesach. Okay? Okay, now, we have a couple of things left that I'd like to discuss. One is some selected tshuvot, because they give very different nuances to the subject of what we've read now. I think we've really played it out here pretty well. There are a couple of little nuances that I think, just because the people who said it, it's important to get.
And I think you should post the Shabbat.
Yes.
That the Haredi women, the education of the Haredi women. So we could
argue. Oh, yes. Yes.
And it showed that the boys are learning the Torah, and they're not even keeping the old students in the class to know the minimal syllabus. And the girls are learning all kinds of secular subjects. So
the
boys are exactly
the same. It's exactly, yeah.
There's no more. Oh, wait a second. Look at all this stuff I found.
You know,
I
yeah.
Listen, this is a call of cheer. I need to do it. Okay. So, okay, let me just mention that, just for future reference, if you have to ever have to be a name dropper, on I mentioned on page 22, you have a list here of, you can just throw a couple of names around, about women learning Gemara, right to our Shabbat. Source 22 gives you a list of the stuff that the gentleman that named to find. That's the, okay, Rav Esther Tzvina, Rav Yeshua Ber Soloveitchik, Rav Sorotsky, Rabbi Lubavitch. You're going to spend some time reading about Rabbi Lubavitch. Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, we read about him, he's the Stachler Rav. Rav Chaim Dovalevi, we have read that, Rav Torsh, Rav Kapach, Rav Kaddish, Rav Avraham Kashrutz, that's the former chief rabbi, really, Rav Waldenberg, Rav Moshe Malkov, he was a rabbi, she said, Rav Tikva. Sefer Tamar, Tremendous Kamachokov, it's a Fury Red, or a Lichtashi, with Motor Reed, or a Yud Amitah, with Beat Selection, or Hankin, or Mayor Hershkowitz, or Varman, or Livni, or Muter. Okay, so there's a long list. So if anybody needs those references. What I'd like to do today is read a couple selections. The next time we meet, we're going to read a very long tshuva by Rav Lichtenstein. It's a tshuva that I find fascinating because he deals with the whole question, not only of women's education in general, but with a Weltanschauung. Not just the question of women learning Torah. Yes, no. It's a question of a direction, of a sort of a total view. That we'll do next time. Today, we're going to read a few selections, including a tshuva from the Lubavitch Rebbe, which is a very interesting tshuva. Okay, we're going to start, read turn to page, source 21. Source 21. Okay. This is from a book called Divrei Chachamim. I forget the name of the author, but he consulted with several of the Rosh Yeshiva, who, and he essentially consulted several very interesting issues with them, and he wrote again. So this is second-hand information. Now, you should understand that second-hand information has a lot of advantages, because people ask a lot of very interesting questions, and he asked from several people, and these are not tshuvas that are published in any place else. The disadvantage is that the gentleman quoted did not write them. So you have to be careful with the language. You also have to be careful, you know, it's not always completely reliable, but in any case, you have to be careful. Let's read the question. Nashim shirotzim b'mod gemara. האם מותר או אסור ללמד אותם היום? וגם האם צריך למחות ביד האלה שעושים, כן, you reject to those women who do learn Gemara, לא לעשות, גם להגיד. שמעתי מהגון רב שניאור קוטנר, anybody know that is? He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood. Shemidina ain't Easter bezeh hayom. There's no Easter today for women to learn Gemara. Okay? I will aim lasso, but you shouldn't do it. Kizeh shtut, because it's silly. She ain't bezeh to elevan cloud, because it's of no benefit to it. But tzarich rak lilmod. And you can learn with them, ma shehem tzrichim, kamo halachot. You should learn to spend your time teaching them halachot. Chumash v'chedome. V'afilu ha'anoshim, even men. Kol ha'tam shalom din gemara, v'lo shal dvarim. Why do we spend so much time learning gemara with the men and not other things? Shetzrichim yotel adat, because they have to know more of the source of the matter. Kamo halacha l'maaseh. I'm sorry, I apologize. כל התאם שלומדים גמרא ולא שהדברים שצריכים יותר לדעת כמו הלך למעשה, why do we spend so much on in גמרא? הוא שיש קיר של תלמוד תורה. Because that's part of the obligation to learn Torah. You gotta learn תלמוד תורה. That's a mitzvah תלמוד תורה. מה שאין כן נושים, שאין להם חיוב זה, women don't have the obligation of תלמוד תורה. Their primary function is to know how to function. Aim the mode zakra. It's not they should learn it. I hope you understand that he views it as a waste of time. Now, Ben Zion Ferrer, and he justified in his tribal that we read last week, and some of the other people, they feel it was not a waste of time. First of all, the women need to know the sources. They need to understand the background of Allah. Second of all, they spend most of they're involved in educating the children and as teachers in the school system. So whatever the men have to know, they have to know as well. But he felt, or Schneider feels, that it's really not necessary. They should object to those who do such, because he feels that that's not the way to invest the time. It's an improper educational approach. Ubishem Yisrael Kinevsky, right, Shemati? Shehiskim Lezagam Kenshen Kisum Medina. He also said that it's not necessary, not usur. I don't think that's why you shouldn't do it. Rakim HaBrega Ulelech Lumo Divrei Chol. But if the choice is to learn Divrei Chol, and secular things, the Chedomah, as Tov Yotel Lumo Gemara. That is the choices which you learn Gemara, you learn secular things, you teach your Gemara. Why should you take waste of time? And that's the choice. He says you teach it tomorrow. So that's no question. You don't like that.
I certainly don't like it. Learning for men's sake, or intellectually challenged, and men can be intellectually challenged within the frame of the law.
He's not saying. Teach it. Don't give them. Make it intellectually challenging. He says the men have an obligation of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah means I gotta learn about one ox growing in another ox. I gotta learn it. That's the mitzvah Torah. I gotta know as much Torah as possible. I gotta learn everything. Well, we don't have. The woman has to know how to function. They should spend their time learning Shulchan Aruch here a day. Shulchan Aruch or Chai. He didn't say they should learn that. What? Well, the Belzer Dayan said. He said, look, the women want it because they're interested like the men are interested. They don't want to be bored. They find it exciting. They find it creative. For they need it for their intellectual stimulation. Okay? The others have argued what?
So then it's not Buster.
Well, let me put this one. He didn't say it's us.
No, but I'm...
He's against it because he feels it's a waste of time or of the woman's time. Why not wasting their time in Gemara? They should be spending their time doing stuff they need, that the woman should master. And the reality still is, hey, that's an educational policy, the reality still is that a woman spend years in a coma. Right? The man is going to spend, some men are going to spend years in the coma. You can have more time in which to chat mitzvah. Women, the women don't have that, and they're poor in fields. They should be spending time learning halacha. It doesn't mean they should sit around learning chassidus and musar and stuff like that. He doesn't say that. He wants them into a job, but he doesn't need them on the team. Rav Kanievsky seems to be less objectionable, because he says, you know, the girls are going to spend a year doing learning secular, they can spend secular space, but the low toes. Okay. Now, that's correct.
Feinstein,
כיוון שכל הטעם שעושים זה היום הוא רק כפי דרך הגויים שאנשים רוצים להיות שווה, רומים זמר. וממילא זה עניין של לילך וחוקותיהם. It's copying the goyim, because the motivation is goyish in the motivation. ואפילו שהיא מכוונת ממש לשם שמיים, and even if her kavanah is explicitly for heaven, say, לחזק היהדות שלה, because she wants to get a greater appreciation from Yiddishkeit or feel more Jewish. אבל מה שבא מזה, הוא קלקול בהשקפת התורה. This is going to be a destruction of the Jewish world. I'm sure, שנראהו כאין מלזבד את היקים מלזבד, and therefore should be from it. Now, the problematics of this is, and twofold. First of all, let's say it actually twofold. Twofold is under Moshe Feinstein, and the third fold is why it's in Kukulte. The two reasons, Rav Moshe Feinstein was against women learning the Mishnah. He was asked in Mishnah. But he never said that he was against it. Well, he said because the Chazal said, so he was against it. Second of all, remember that tshuva we read? Actually read it twice. Once in Hebrew, once in English. About the Nashim HaShananot. About women wearing talis and tefillin. Right? He was against it. Whatever the reasons why he was against it, he never said women's lib. He said if they merit against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But it's very clear, he said, that the women want to put on the tzitzis, l'shem shemayim, right? Even if it has the man of the tribal woman, but she's doing it l'shem shemayim, he never forbade it. So how do they say over here that even if she does it, l'shem shemayim, it's a problem because of the women's lib. Second of all, thirdly, it has generally to do with the argument of Chukotayim. Suppose I'm motivated because of women's lib, I want to get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. My motivation is women's lib. And I decide I'm going to daven with kavana, just like the men daven. So her motivation is clearly, she's going to do it just like the men do. She's going to get up and she's going to daven with kavana, and she's going to take the time during that. Her motivation is women's lib. But her expression is a Jewish expression. It's not only the same. She, her expression, to be in Bechukotein lo tilechu means you do what the Goyim do. She's not doing what the Goyim do. She's doing a Lady Torah. How did that become Bechukotein lo tilechu? Essentially what this argument, whether it's a Moshe or not, essentially what this argument contains is that if your motivation is possible, even if what you do is good, right? Is a bona fide Jewish expression. It's not valid. Now, I should tell you that there is a major gadol who said that. Just said what I told you. His name is Rav David Cohen. I'm very close to him. Very close to him. And he, in a recent issue of Jewish Action, there was a discussion about women mentioned disease. Now, three women getting together the zima, so we're sure. Three women can do 10 women, don't make any of the three women get the zima. I had a discussion with him many years ago, and I think we even discussed this, about what happens if there are three women and two men at the table. How do the men answer? Can the men answer? And if they can't answer, how do they can answer? So when we learned that, I said, in Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal said, the men answer, Baruch Shachar Mishlo. Just say that, if the men make a zimun, the women can answer. So too, if the women can make a zimun, the two men there can answer. Same thing, that's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. Rav David Cohen said, no, since they're not part of the zimun, they have to answer like outsiders. What is that? Suppose you have three people, men or women, sat there, they didn't eat. And they come in, and they walk by and they hear. They come in later, guess, and they hear people who bench you for zima. They can't say, they answer is outside. What does outside say? They say, they hear God's, you know, they say, Yishem Hashem v'vorach. So they answer, Baruch v'vorach shmot tamid l'olam ve'ed. So mentions. That's what you answer if you didn't eat. Baruch v'vorach shmot tamid l'olam ve'ed.
No,
you don't say shacham v'shalom. But you say, that's exactly the point, right. See, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmo, Tamid L'Olam. So Rav David Cohen said that's what they should answer. I told this to my my friend Ari Zivotofsky. Ari Zivotofsky has this column in the Jewish Action where he debunks all sorts of misconceptions, and he talks about Hebrew. It's a very good comic, a lot, and he talks about it. Now he talks about what do men do when women make a zivot. He says everybody says women can't, men can answer. He says that's not so. And he said, well, according to Billy Cohen, the way I wrote it, Billy Cohen responded by saying that something which is permissible, but whose motivation is puzzle, okay, he's against it. He's against it, even though what I quoted him is accurate. He says, that's not accurate. But he says he believes that the Zeno nowadays is motivated by women's lip consideration, and therefore he's against it. Okay. So I'm trying to point out to you when he's against it, he's against a variety of things, which you can start listing, which he feels are, now that's one position, and he feels, which I personally find difficult, because I don't think that jives with innate public policy, although he seems to suggest it's because of the book of the label. I think that's extremely problematic. But this expression, this type of opinion, that anything motivated by women's lib, by definition, comes up, even if it's Beferish and Shulchanarach. You understand? Women's zimun is Beferish and Shulchanarach, and yet the David Cohen felt that since its motivation, even though it's since the motivation is possible, even the expression is perfectly halakhic from the kosher, it's not the meaning. Yes?
Are all the things that you're citing that
you're
all related to women, or
are there
other things?
Yes. Oh, other things? No. Well, he feels that this is a Easter director book we're getting into later. He feels that women's lib is a goyish concept.
Yeah, but are there other things,
I don't know. I'm sure you could find some expression of it. I don't know. I mean, this issue came up by women's issue. I'm sorry.
The whole movement in the end of
the
60s and
early
70s of pronouns for boy Vietnam draft created a great movement of Yeshiva students who ended the Yeshiva, Lama Lishma. Many of them stayed there.
There's no Easter to end Yeshiva.
The motivation was totally wrong.
I'm not here to defend Rabbi David Cohen. I love the man tremendously. I'm not here to defend his position. I present it to you because I'm honest, and I present positions to you. Get the gamut of the picture. I don't think we should preach to ourselves, right? And you give it off and you go, go to a shiur and you hear what you want to hear. That's not my goal. My goal is to give you the total picture. I gave the total picture. I don't think that's a good analogy. I have to think of a good analogy. That's not. Okay, but I'm sure there are things, I don't know. Yes, I'm sorry.
Because there are other issues like where people quote,
I think the misquote, in fact, my brother Dove wrote the author a letter saying that it's called Biberman, who's the Chachamecha? He wants to write this Chachamecha. What did you hear? Because it's against our Moshe Feinstein and two accounts. One, the Moshe Feinstein didn't say this. He said if the woman's a Shem Shemayim, it's all right. Even if her motivation may have started off as a woman's lib, but if she's doing the Shem Shemayim, if the expression is perfectly on the Shem Shemayim, then it's not
wrong.
You're asking me, is it possible that
this... You're saying that when people quote the
Shikha,
people quoting what they heard from somebody.
Yes, that's problematic. That is correct. This is an example of a problematic.
It's not the only
concept. No. Soloveitchik was quoted and misquoted thousands of times.
About electricity.
Yeah, well, a lot of things he did say, but I mean, you have to be careful. You have to be very careful. I don't know what the circumstances were, how it was quoted, what was the case. You have to be very careful. All right. What I'd like to do is, let's turn to the number 19. It's a very interesting tshuva. It's pretty pretty much shook up the Haredi world. This is source 19. This is from a weekly journal called Kfar Chabad. Okay. Came out in 1990, Tav Shin Nun. And it is essentially is the position of the Lubavitcher Rebbe on women learning Gemara. Okay? And I think it's important to read because he, as a tremendous scholar, two scholars who really came out very, very supportive of women learning Gemara. I mean, supportive in an active way. One was Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the other is Sayyid Shabbat Salah. That was a good environment, but will actually very much serve to open the gates. Okay. But, I mean, we have many other post-game who said it, but these are two very common. All right, let's read the truth. The Hemshek Lamadubarayel, continuation of what was said by God, which is the previous sikha, the discussion of the Rebbe, Alvar al Safab Bechinuch, Bnei Ubenot Israel, about the importance of increasing the education of the daughters and sons of Israel, Bethen the Tzivui, Benetina Koach, the Parshatenu, based on the command and the authorization that appears in our Parsha, Emor the Amarta Nazir. The Chazal say that the adults were warned about the children. So he is taking poetic liberty and he says, "Yesh lahadgish ben yuchad chovatan uzkutan shel neshei Yisrael b'chinuch." It's important here to note the obligation and the credit of the daughters of the women of Israel in education. Lazhir alaktanim. Now, this is a play. He's using lazhir alaktanim to mean what? Lazhir milashon zoha, for all, to shine light. Not to warn them, not to, that they should, but they should shine light, in the word zoha, zoha v'or. She has hiru alaktanim, they should light up the children. Via iru, and light them, v'ner mitzvah v'torah. Very nice. Bagdama, as an introduction. Chiyuv ha-chinuch, mi'ikar ha-din hu ha-ra'av. And then he quotes the Gemara we learned, Aviv mitzuva midivisofim v'chanach chanech et beno obito afilu b'mitzvah asay kol shekein lafrisha melavo lo taseh. This is from the Shulchan Aruch. And so that a father has the rabbinic obligation to educate his children, even Darshas, and certainly from staying away from Darshas. Masha'in kein he'en, which is not true from the mother, She'ena mitzuve alav klal, she's not commanded to do such at all. Vein mitzvah to say, vein mitzvah not to say, she's not obligated to educate her children. Aval nosaf lochach, she'achinuch v'nagat abanim v'abanot, ubefrat ha'ktanim v'ktanot, v'forom mamash, tluya b'midah rabba v'ikarit v'adrach ha'dayim. But if so he says that, that's the law of the books. Women are not commanded in education, he says. But he says the Bible German, he says, but practically speaking, he says, in addition to the fact, right, the education and the training of the sons and daughters, particularly the little sons, little ones, the form mamash, in actuality, depend on the mother, Akevet Abai, right, who takes care of the home. Who bederech memela nasa ikar chinuch al yadav. And therefore, de facto, de jure, she's not obligated. But de facto, she's the one who's doing it. Hare yadur ma sheketav ashra, we know in addition that which the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, the Shema said, Shahanashim mitzuvot al tokachat b'neihem. She's obligated to criticize her children, to keep them in line, just like the father. And more than the fathers, because they're around in the home to see how the kids act. So he says, they're different. So what he's trying to point out is, they have to be see, Reverend Lipson Singh comes at it in a very different attitude. There is one loss that the Gemara on the books says, Bishinat HaModel, like against each Torah. So, but that's not the only source that gives a parent the obligation to train his children, or her children. There's also Mitzvah Tochacha, to criticize them if they're acting properly. The mother has and the participant has a responsibility for that too. Okay? And we'll see Livingston says we have an obligation to remember signs, remember the Sinai revelation. It's a special obligation to remember the books. And men and women are obligated to transmit that, to make sure their children are the next link in the tradition. Alright? So it's that may be a more general obligation, doesn't mean that you have to preach Torah. The Vishinata is a very specific obligation, very positive, but that doesn't mean that it's that there aren't other sources from which a mother has to be an educator. That he says there's an advantage to the way a mother teaches. Vatochana criticism. The Nashim Legabin of a woman more than men. Because of the nature of women, the criticism is done gently, love. From a sense of closeness, ahava v'chiba. So pedagogically, they are the better source for the teaching. Yotem v'asheretzim, more than the men. V'ro'im v'muchash v'fad v'dovot v'chon. We see, factually, especially in the latter generation, the dafka v'derek shel kivu v'ahava, through a style of closeness and love, chanoch l'nar api d'avko, teaching each child based on his needs. Gidole yotem slapet achinuch. That sort of education is more successful. Kshem shadvarim amorim benogea lekralot inyan hachinuch, harei ze gam benogea limud Torah. Just as we're talking about education in general, so it talks about learning Torah. Mitzad aseg min haTorah al ha'av lelamed et beno katani Torah. Father's obligation to teach his son Torah. Ma she'en ken ha'en, a mother doesn't have an obligation to teach his son Torah. Shem she'en ha mitzuvah tamo Torah la'atzmah, kach en ha mitzuvah tamo Torah la'mnos. Just as she's not obligated to learn Torah per se for herself, so she's not obligated to teach herself. Aval, nosaf leka, she'im hi ozer l'bana o l'bala b'gufa b'molda she'yasok b'Torah, cholek et zchav lehem. But just as we saw that if she makes sure that her son, her husband and her son, learn Torah, she gets shares the reward with them. Uschara gedol, the reward is great. Machashem and Subim Gosin Yerda, because they're commanded and she facilitates learning, their learning. Harei ve'ototam shanashim mitzuvot al tochachat b'neihem kamo av v'yotel me'em. And that some women are commanded to criticize their sons more, like the father, perhaps more than them because they're available. Harehu mitzvot gam l'shtadeh v'asav kol ha'teluy behem shebneihem yilmud Torah. There because of the mitzvah tochacha, criticism, and to raise the children, make sure the children grow up properly, she has an obligation to make sure her sons are taught. The pasuk shebishtadlutan shel anashim shebneihem yilmud Torah, v'lashon chazal, v'achru yebenayu lebeit mishta. Okay, to bring their children to the Beit Knesset, he puts a parenthesis, to Nekosho Beit Rabban, they were given the Yom Lemedim Lefnei Rabban Beit Knesset. The children used to learn in shul. That's why it says, to make sure that their sons, the children go to shul. The Makrin U'matnin B'nayim, Shetochot Al B'neihem La'aviyam Lebeit HaSefer, Likro Mikra, Makrin means to read, and reading means the Torah Shebechtar, means the Torah, or the Shnot Mishnah. וזה נכלל כל הדברים של עידוד, חיזוק וזירוז שיוסיפו בלימוד התורה באדמה והשקידה. This includes all its techniques by which she has to encourage the children to learn. ומה האופנים? Amongst the things that a mother is required to do, על ידי התעניינות והשתתפות של אנשים בתלמודם של בניהם, שכאשר ילדים חוזרים לבתי מהחדר, Talmud Torah Yeshiva, and the children comes back, you know, the Cheder, the Talmud Torah, the Yeshiva. Shalom to them, Imam, and Vakesh Lehem, Shiyachzeru, Yavru, La, Al Talmudam. She asked them, Chazar over, you know, what did you learn in school then? Asher Nosaf, the Torah, that Shiva Chazarat, and the Mukesh, that's right. In addition to the importance of the review, Shihi Ba'ota Midah Ba'limune Ma'av, which the mother is obligated as well, like the father, as the Shla says, mothers perhaps are more obligated because they're available in the house. Because the mother's special approach, which is warmer and more emotional than the father's. Because when a father goes to the son, it's a test. Right? For him. Kinahuk Sha'ab Bochenet at Banab Ali Mudayem, Yom Shabbos Rak Yotzeb is there. Most of Chiyut, but the mother does it through love. And that adds an element of life, excitement, the Tlavut Yitera, the Limudam Shal Yeladim Kinereb and Mukhash. Zot Va'od, Ayidei Zesh and Hashim Lomdot in Bnayem, because the women learn with their sons, nitvasek b'limud ha-Torah sh'tanashim atzman. Their learning limud Torah increases as well. Lazhir gidolim u'gdolot ha-yidei hitaskut im ha-ktanim. It sheds light on the adults, okay, because of their involvement with the children. Al derech ma shekatov le'yishiv le'yavot l'imahot ha-yidei hitanim. So what he said until now is that a woman has an obligation to educate her children, first of all, for practical reasons, because she's the most effective educator. She's the one who's around. Secondly, he said, because a woman has a legal obligation to educate her children, because she may not have the formal education to teach Torah, but she has an obligation to make sure her children grow up as good Jewish boys and girls. And as a result, that which of tochacha requires her to learn from them Torah. It's a more general obligation. The pshat of the yeshua gam odot chiyuv ha'amur v'chlal shel hanashim b'dimut. Now, till now I talked about women as educators. Now I'm talking about the women's obligation of Torah. Asher inyan zeh b'nogei l'chinuch ha'banot, which deals with the also the education of the daughters. L'chol l'rosh, firstly. הנשים חייבות ללמוד הלכות הצריכות להן לידע אותן, כמו דיני ניבה או תפילה או מליחה וסייבה להיות זה. Women are obligated to learn all the הלכות that are relevant to them, which includes ניבה, תפילה, and kashering. בכל מצוות השם שאין לזמן גרמה, בכל מצוות הזה של הטובה, בשל דבריסו ועוד הער שהדער שהפנס, and all הער שהתרונה נתן גרמה, and all רבינה כמם, שאין מזורות להן כמשת, and she's obligated like men. Ribui gadol de luchot haTorah. Vast majority of the luchot haTorah. Va'alavai hayu kol hanashim b'kiyum haTorah. What the men were experts in this. The old ikar, secondly, limud pnimiyut haTorah b'torat haChassidut. Women also have to learn the spirit of Torah, which is learning Chassidus. Okay, now this is a big thing that the Rabbis read. I mean, the Rabbis just learned Chassidus. And he says, women are obligated to learn Chassidus. And the literature would say the women got to learn Yavis, they got to learn Musar. The Chassidus, they got to learn Chassidus. Shabbat Yidbaru HaYanim DeMunak. Through Chassidus. Chassidus essentially, and I was at the Mirashama Banot at Bar Ilan, and there was somebody teaching Chassidus. Rav Shola. Let me tell you that was an experience. Rav Shola. Was teaching this world an absolute experience because it was Jewish philosophy. It was a Jewish philosophy from Hasidic masters. And it was very sophisticated. Right? And it was quite an experience. The Odika, the Mut Pnimut Torah, learn the inside, the philosophy of Torah, the Torah Hasidic, Shabbat Nidbarum Hainanim Demunat Hashem V'Yichudo Havato V'Yotodim. Philosophy, learning the faith in God, unity of God, love of God, fear of God. Lashon HaKatuv, Da et Elokei Avicha, Vavdehu B'Lev Shalem. Know the Lord your God and serve Him with your whole life. Shelimud ze nogea lekiyum ha-sheshet ha-mitzvot shekiyum t'midi lo yipasek me'al adam afilu reyde b'chol yom. There are six mitzvot which the Ramban mentions, which one is obligated, I apologize at the moment. I don't believe the six are. What is the belief in God? No. There are six. These are belief mitzvot. Women are obligated just like men, and therefore they have to learn Jewish philosophy to know what these six continual moments are about. Okay, enough to doubt. Yet, we're getting close to the question. Yes. Yesh lahosif b'zeh gam b'nogil v'halachot she'ein slichot lahem. Now we're talking about mitzvah alachot that she doesn't need at all matters of Torah. Isha shalomedet inyan b'Torah gam b'alachot she'ein slichot lahem. Yesh lasachar. She has reward. Umevarechet birkat haTorah. And a woman is obligated to make birkat haTorah in the morning. Gam al limud alachot she'ein slichot lahem. Even on mitzvot that she doesn't know. What is he referring to? Because the brachot, right after you make the brachot of the Torah, the Ogur says, why do you have to make the brachot of the Torah? Because the woman read karbanos. Karbanos, that's something that we read. That's what he's bringing from. He's bringing from the other statement. That in the first part of davening, before you get into Baruch Shem, there is the hope of karbana. It says you have to learn, you have to make brachot before you learn karbana. וזה שציבו חכון שלא ילמד אדם את ביתו תורה בפני שרוב הנשים אין דעתן מכוונות ויוצא בזה. The reason why, this is the Rambam's interpretation, why the rabbis commanded that a man should not teach his daughter Torah because most women are not trained. Hine. Okay. Kol. Lachol nevosh. First, מצינו בדבריים בישראל ש... כמה וכמה נשים צדקניות היו בקיאות ולמדניות גדולות בתור שבאחר. We see that there are many righteous women who are experts and well-learned in Torah Shabbat. Hachel Mizan, even in the time of the Tanoim, where the prohibition appears. Vechein v'dorot shalachaz, and even the generations after that. V'kimasupa gam v'zichonot t'fot k'tsham horit chami, Admo, okay, that my father-in-law, he says, who was the Admor, who also, Advar HaRabaniyot, the Mishpato, the many Rabaniyot in his family, Shalomenu Azokei, who were experts in Torah, in the Rambam, who grew up Zanag, Folk HaShom HaRachami, Admo Menogea, Lechinuch Benotav, means my father-in-law, who was the Admor, learned Torah with his daughters. So that they're alamdaniyot, so he sees as a well-founded, it's a long-found family tradition. So you see the fact, though, that they were learning what the women taught. And he came, ועוד עיקר, שבדורות האחרונים נתבסד גם בנוגע לכל נשי ובנות בסדר. That was when, he said, that was in the previous generation, so the special women, they learned Torah. Okay? Now we saw this sort of approach, that a woman was exceptional, and we saw that she was intellectual and fine, there was never any certain teacher coming. But now he's getting really close to the question. Ba'od v'ika shebedorot ha'chon nidvaset kamen ha'yalachol nashay v'lo yisrael. Now he says this permission applies to all the daughters of Israel. U'bagdim nonel inyan dugmato shebedorot shelofeno faneno, and I'll give you a comparison, for instance. Shebedorot shelofeno לא היו מוסדות חינוך לבנות. מוסדות, לא היו educational system for daughter. ונתחתכו ברוח ישראל, סבא בבתיהם. כבוד הבת נאות. They learned, they got educated in their house. שכל בת קיבה מאמא ומזכנתה, she learned from her mother, from her grandmother. ואף לא פיקם, בדור הדרכוני, יסדו גדולי ישראל, מוסדות חינוך לבנות. באותם שזה עוצר בזמן, they saw that this was the necessity of time. אית לעשות השם, affairs are definitely there are times that you have to bend the laws in order to keep the Judaism alive. The kibun shibalat hachi yotzot mibatein lekaplot hashvam mifuchus, because they're anyway going out of the house and they're getting outside influences. Behechek liyasin avuram nostol chinuch shibehem yikablu chinuch hakasher va'ad lechinuch atarat hakodesh. That they should get, since they're going to get educated, they're going outside anyway. We have to make sure that they are prepared properly for the challenges of the outside world. Umizeh muvan gamen of gelinim utorah shel bal peh. Now we can understand also by learning Torah shel bal peh. Nosaf al limud halachot sukkah. This is in addition to the halachot that they have to know anyway. Shekivan shebelav hachinuch lomdot anashim lebanot. לימודים שונים שהידי הידם נכנס בממלות. Right? These the women are going to be intellectually stimulated. If you're afraid they're going to get tricky, you say, they don't need that. They don't need Torah to do that for them. I mean, this sophistication and analysis and intellectual abilities, they'll get from their own general education. They don't need that. They don't need Torah to create that problem. Right? Harei lo zu blubah shemuta lomlo Torah. Not only is it mutter to teach Torah about that, and you tear him a zoo, apitam alacha zoo, because the very alacha, right, that she's going to become, you're afraid that she'll be, because she gets intellectually changed, she'll be tricky. Sarek lalamot tor shebal peh, lo rak limut alacha, psukot li tamem, elegam limut tamem, you have to teach him as deep as possible. Va'ad l'shak l'vatari shebatari, even the pilpul, all the give and take, שמטבע האדם שחפץ ומדענק בו בלימוד זה. Because that will excite them, that will catch them. That's what a person wants to learn more, it will stimulate them. שעדי זה תהיה אצלן התפתחות החושים והכישרונות ברוח תורתנו הקדושה. He says, in the good old days we were afraid, you exposed the world to the knowledge, and I mean, you misuse it, you abuse it. He said, that intellectual training, they're going to get no matter what. Our job is to make sure that they use those skills that they're going to have anyway on Tarat HaKodesh properly. So it's not only permissible, you got to teach them anything that will excite them, anything that they will find intellectually stimulating. In Masra Rav, in addition to the regular halakot that they're taught, Gav Od Dinei Torah, there are other matters of Torah, Knif Tav Leh, which I mentioned above, which means what? Torah Shabbat Peh, V'tov V'nachon Shiyosifu B'zeh Kaheina V'Kaheina. And that will stimulate them, that they should add more and more. Please, no one's body. U'malan Nosefet Shayidei Zeh Yesh Vav Shemutam V'Sayeo Nosif V'Tamudah Shabbaneim. They now can help with the education of their sons. V'gam V'Tamud Shabbaleim with the education of their husband. שבנוסף על חלקם זכותם לפי בניו לבני קרישנה ותיו גבריו בי רבנן ונקלו לגבריו עד האטו לבי רבנן. In addition to the zכות they get by bringing their בקרויה בניו לבני קרישנה by bringing their sons to learn מקרא in the shul ובתנויה גבריו they bring their husbands to learn Mishnah Gemara in the house of the rabbis ונתרים לגבריו עד האטו לבי and they wait for their husbands until they come home. יכול לעזור לסייע ההתעניינות בהשתתפות בלימוד עצמו. Because of their now involvement in the learning of their husbands, they can steal their husbands to know more. He says, they're not just passive, you know, they can say, no, what is going on in the shul today? And he comes home and discusses with their, so she's now in his
video.
The answer is no. However, the answer is no, but you said to me, but some of you last week said they learned enough about school in Rome. Okay, they formally don't yet teach, but I understand that the older they do. They do it very much like the women don't teach them the Gemara. The women. What was this? Okay, this is the 1990s. This is 1990. If that's what's going on in the 1990s. I understood that in the high schools, they're not yet, they're not teaching the Gemara, but... maybe the Bible goes to the Rebbe Shlomo. I don't know. It was a joke.
Yeah, I know.
All right. We'll stop there. Okay. Now, what I'd like to do now is, I want to turn to page 23. With all this gung-ho stuff, I thought it would be interesting to read from a lady. This is Sonata Kabushi Yatete Man. This is the Yeshiva Stronghold. Page 20, source 23. Yatete Man, how are we producing women now? Yes. I just thought as a... okay. This is Hannah Leifer, who is this home Muhammad for? The school system, it takes away the joy of the learning from the children. In fact, significant strides have been made which take away the joy of the entire family. The first mitzvah stated in the Torah is that of having a family. Baruch Hashem, the Orthodox community of today has been blessed with many large families. The Ezus Hashem Ken Yirbu. Took me a while. I try to cut the cheek. In the previous generation, homework was not an assignment for the parent. Indeed, European-born parents were often unfamiliar with material covered in the American classroom. Today's schoolwork is no longer contained in the classroom, but has become an unfair burden on the parent, particularly those blessed with large families. Children who do not study at home with their parents are not able to keep up at school. Instead of being able to enjoy a beautiful, growing family in a calm, relaxed atmosphere, a few waking hours spent together are overshadowed and conducted with a little bit of school hours. Mother warmly greets each child at the door and with jaws clenched, tells them to get out their homework. Younger children who may be too tired or simply want to play are not spared. Mother breaks pages of labored reading, reviews spelling lists, solves math problems, pastes arts and crafts, teaches social studies lessons, apparently for the very first time, and attacks the mound of paperwork awaiting the parental signature. Then, and only then, she may attend to the baby. Which mother today does not dread falling behind in the homework? Parents are afraid to complain to the school for fear of having their children labeled poor daughters. Learning can be an enjoyable experience. Excessive pressure in school and demands on the family can be harmful to a child's development. Recently, Atzala was summoned to a prominent high school. After examining a student, Atzala member inquired if the student is not under a lot of pressure. He replied to the principal, all of our students are under tremendous pressure. What are we doing to our children? Is this their Atzala? Our daughters suffer particularly in this system. They are much too busy with their load of homework and test projects to help their mothers and thus lose vital experience in running the home. Those who are quiet or simply not aggressive, qualities that used to be encouraging about Israel, class Israel, get lost in large classes and are often dismissed as below average. Girls are being taught more shkafa, tanakh, and halacha, not to mention secular studies, than their brothers. That's true. The claim is the brothers will eventually catch up, but it's going to be learning longer. How will they respect their husbands? I don't need to say the joke. I'm not saying the joke.
I know you know that.
And I know you know what I mean. Ironically, even some Hasidic schools which open offering an alternative approach find themselves keeping up with Beis Yaakov standards. I too recall the words of a seminary in the Hanukkah. The goal of a Jewish education for women must be to develop future rebbetzins. If we produce female rabbis, this is a conservative Judaism. Our daughters being imbued in Torah true values. No, Mrs. Leifer, this problem is by no means limited to Eretz Yisrael. Parents of Mechanta must address these issues so that Ezra Hashem can foster a calm, healthy environment in which our children can grow in Avos Torah and Hashem. Let me tell you what bothers me. There's a lot of truth in what she says. I think that a lot of truth. I mean, you end up doing going to the first grade, second grade, several times. And first of all, I think that good and bad. I think the relationship I had with my parents was an education, was based on an educational relationship, and I had tremendous love and respect for them because, and so as a young kid, as I grew up, I continued learning from them. I think there is a problem with the amount of material that comes out of it and the way it comes. On the one hand, I don't think we have to pamper them. On the other hand, I think that perhaps the burden that she's talking about is rushing my family. But you have to understand what about the school. Let me get to watch it. I'm telling you the truth. They're preventing the women from getting jumpy. Keep them so busy with homework, they won't have time to listen to the Beatles. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? You keep them busy, you keep them in their hands busy with... Now, she's claiming that because they're so locked into this education, they're already getting their family experience. My son, Yaakov Shalom, after 1 year in learning Karnei Shomron, said to me, Abba, I've just gotten back all this Abba Satorah that I lost in the 4 years of high school. Now, that's really true. And I think a lot of what she's talking about is valid. I mean, there's a lot of truth to what she says here. You have to understand what we're talking about more than a yeshivish stream of why they're pushing so hard, and they push very hard. And it's when I read the Belzer diet, as I meant, I quote this tshuva, he says explicitly, he says, you keep them busy with schoolwork, he says they won't have time for all this junk. Right? You keep their heads full. The problem about are we producing female rabbis? I mean, that's when he says, no, we're producing redditions, right? We're female redditions. What?
If a redditions joke, it's no joke for a
redditions. If I knew what a rabbi's job was, I'd know what a redditions
job was. May I be listening to you? Esther, why do they bother me? If I ever miss a sister, we missed you. So it's ever so nice way to say family, right? So I said, why is it so? I'm just depressed for longer. She said, here we don't know again, another other part of the world. They hire one, and they get two for the price of one.
That's very different. Okay, I think that the problem is here about too much education is something else that's very important. But I think that Judaism, and this is a really separate issue, it's not just a problem with women that we give them so much. It's the whole world. I mean, we're the generation. Again, the bells of diamond philosopher, bulmus, this thirst, this lust after knowledge. You can't get anything without getting a master's. I mean, it used to be if you had a high school education, now you need a college education, now you need a master's. Right? You can't do anything without being highly educated. That's the nature of the world. The same thing is true in Torah. The same thing is becoming true in Torah. And kind sort of education.
You can never be overqualified.
Chaim Soloveitchik, again in an article that is very recent, suggests that this need for tremendous amount of authority in Judaism, which wasn't true, he says he dates it starting from begins in the 1950s. He thinks that it started getting into the swing in the 1970s. This tremendous need for learning came about because of acculturation. Because what happened was, in Europe, they lived in the shtetl, they lived in the community, they learned from their mothers, there was what's called the mimetic tradition. They learned everything, most of what they needed to learn from at home, and they could go out by themselves, but they learned what they needed from home. His argument was that when they came to America and all the walls had come down and now living in a totally society and they're becoming acculturated, what's acculturation? this is really the assimilation culture. Assimilation means I've accepted Glacier values. I'm not talking about assimilation, I'm about acculturation means I've accepted their lifestyle. I live their lifestyle. I give you some, and there's some of, and Chaim Soloveitchik points out, what does he mean? He says, you know, there's Baruch Hashem hundreds of restaurants, Chinese. You know what that means? It means that the Jewish community is into this demand, just like the Korean community. You go to a chasna and you hear all this simcha music. It's a rock. It's an Iraq, he says. Then he has a long footnote about what he calls syncopation, demonstrating that syncopation is not a natural. The people think syncopation as you hear the music and go and get in the beat. He says, no. It's something that's learned. Because you get into the syncopation of only the culture that you're used to. You go into an African native tribe, you don't like their syncopation. I remember when I first came to Israel, I was hearing all this Arab music. That syncopation, I can't identify with that syncopation. It's not that. It's something that you're culturally trained for. So it means music that we're now singing at Hasidus, that's also acculturation. And then he goes out and he says, and the clothing we wear, and our lifestyle, and our business, and careers, and we're become extremely cultured. He says, well, if I'm becoming American, not in my values, but in what, how I live my life, how do I assert my uniqueness as a Jew? He says, you assert the uniqueness by your deep dukkanism, by doing the mitzvot the best way possible. And the best way possible is not something I can learn. I learned from my parents. There's some erosion in their tradition. I learn. No, I have to go to school. I've gone to school for a very long time. And it's not education just for the handful that we go in. It's for everybody. Everybody sits and learning. And the women are, everybody going there to struggle after high school and everybody getting education. It's this to be, learn more and be medactic more. And this is because it's through the learning that we assert our uniqueness as a Jew. That's essentially the Feast of Chaim Soloveitchik. It's a fascinating article to read about itself. Anyway, it's affected the womankind as well, and affected the Jews in a very important church. Okay, the last thing I want to read today, 5 more minutes and we'll walk it through again. Yes?
I take issue with that. The girls, they are much too busy with their load over and quote, I said children, too busy to help their mother, and this lose vital experience in running the home.
She feels that's a value too.
Yeah, well, I think she's 100% right, because I think it is much more important to be at home. And as my late mother discovered in her own school, you learn housekeeping by still, to come back with the oil, to steal with your eyes, to see what your mother does, and do at the table. If you are away helping, I don't know, pushing the wheelchair of somebody, that's a question, right? Which is more
important? I don't know, I think both are important. The question is, look, having watched my children, I know that they come home and they eat something and they're in the room studying. And that's what they call it, truly, it's talking on the telephone. but they're in the room studying. I mean, I know they're studying and they're studying. They don't really help them. They don't really help you in the dishes. They don't help them. What? But I think, let me say, there's a very nice article. I mean, I think there's something to learn from the family. There's something I think is very important for the family to sit down and eat together. Now, as my kids have gotten older, I stopped, and my kids don't eat supper with me, and that bothers me. I mean, they come home, they've already eaten late, or they come home, and I come home to an hour after, 2 hours after, and they're famished, they eat when they came home. And I really miss them. I think there's something about a family sitting together, you know, and talking together, and eating together.
I'm serious, this school, my daughter
my mother doing the same thing. She would
suffer.
I think someone made a beautiful comment about why it's very common for healthy children to grow up in a healthy home. And the point was that you learn how to love by watching your home. And if you have a healthy home and you watch all the homework, that's how you learn how to love. If you see your parents are happy and you see that they love each other and they're caring and they do for each other, that serves as a model for how you act. And that's why it's very common that people from broken homes, the kids from broken homes, don't always have an healthiest experience because they don't have that model. There's a mimetic, there's something to learn from them. I think there's something very important to learn from helping with the dishes and the chipping in and learning, and learning how does your mother wash the dishes and that. That's also a model. How does she wash the dishes and how does she take care and how does she do it? And these are things that are important to learn. And these are not things that you always learn, you know, from a book. It's true that when my wife got married, she didn't know how to cook it. My mother, so she called her mother and said, what do I do? She says, I need a college education. So my wife and I made a deal. She would cook everything and I would eat everything. That's what I came up in my end. But I think there's something very important about how to be a balabusta. My wife learned how to be a balabusta, how to be Machlis Oreo, how to set a Shabbos table. Watching my mother. My mother was a very great entertainer. And no, and she had and my wife learned how to do it from her. Now those are skills that you learn. Not just being in your room at home all the time, but learning skills. These are very important family. And I think that you're right. The letter points that out. Question is, what are the needs of the time? My father and mother would always say, every important decision involves a sacrifice. What are the challenges of the outside world? What are we facing with the outside world? I mean, you have to remember, and it's no joke, we are competing with television and video and the media, and these are constantly pumping in tremendous, when I was growing up, I remember everybody howling, screaming, you know, the television, the homies are, the homies are, the homies are, and the Shemesh and Woman screaming. I think that television has a lot of good to it. It has a tremendous amount of bad to it. And you hear now in the newspaper about the fear of the internet. I mean, I just heard a share from the States. I mean, I live with the internet every day, and I don't know what they're talking about. But maybe because I've grown up in the modernity, I'm immune. I'm not so sure that immunity is healthy. I'm not so sure that immunity is healthy. Right? I'm not sure that's the healthy way to be, because I've lost my sensitivity. So I see these things, I close my eyes or turn the page and go on, right? I don't know what the story is. I just think that we're not always sensitive to the challenges, and the feeling is that if I educate, if I give them a lot of education, if I give them a lot of Torah, give them a lot of training, that they will be able to cope with it.
And these specific, by the same token, that certain being in you, which is wonderful, and I agree with that, and I am here, and I am with you, this being in you makes you switch the button on the television, and there is a program that is really nothing so very positive about it.
That's correct.
I understand,
but wouldn't it be better if the TV wasn't there at all? Anyway, they're using my 5 minutes. So we'll see you after Pesach. It's been a pleasure as usual. And it's been my pleasure. But we'll see you after Pesach. And we'll probably spend just one more session on this. And a couple other new topics to go on.